Okay, we're beginning here on the Gemara and Mem and Aleph by the two dots at the top of the daf. The Gemara here is referencing back to our Mishnah, which discussed a case which is Amar lechen vani, said to the storekeep, Ten li bidinar pirot. Please give me a fruit worth a dinar. Venatan lo. And he gave it to him the fruit. Amar lo, ten li oto dinar. The storekeeper says to him, Now pay me for it. Amar lo, netativ lecha. I already gave it to you. Venatato ba'umfuli. And I placed it into your wallet, into your money bag. Then Yishava Balabait. Yishava Balabait. The Balabait has to take a Shvu'ah Shenatan Lo Dinar, that he already gave him the Dinar. Now the opposite case, which is Amalo Tenli Et Perot, give me the Perot, Amalo Netatim Lecha, I already gave them to you, V'olachtim Letoch Beitcha, and I put them in your house. And there Yishava Chenmani, the Chenmani takes the Shvu'ah. Rabbi Yehuda in this case disagrees, and he says, Kol Asher Perot Biyado, Yado El Yuna. Whoever has the Perot in his hand, he has the upper hand in this case. Now, the question, we raised this in the Mishnah, is Yishava Balabait. The Balabait here has to take a Shvu'ah. Rashi says it's a Shvu'at Heseit, which is very difficult, because over here, we're talking about a Mishnaic Mishnah and Mishnaic work, and the Shvu'at Heseit was only introduced by Rav Nachman. And Shvu'at Heseit is where someone was kofer bakol, he denies any obligation entirely. There he has to take no Shvu'ah min HaTorah. Rav Nachman introduces Shvu'at Heseit to prevent people from making that claim of Kofar Bakol, after they were Me'iz, people were no longer afraid to lie about when they had obligations and deny they had any obligation whatsoever. So now, Rashi says, oh, that's a Shua here, but how could that be the Shua of the Balabait if we're talking about a case in the time of the Mishnah? So Tosafot here on the top of Memchet Amar Aleph, actually, before we start the Sugi, just says, what's Yishava Balabait? Well, hello, Tema, the Shua Tesei Don't Gana, Elabi Meir of Nachman. The Shua Tesei didn't come about until the time of Nachman, and we'll see later today on Tadaf. Daf on the Amud Bet of today's daf, that even Rashi agrees to that principle. Rashi even states that fact that there was no Shvu'at HaSeit in the time of the Mishnah. So Tosus gives two possibilities. One, which is Yesh Lomar Demari, the case here, Shlo Natan Lo Ata Klum. The Baal Abayit gave him nothing over now. And what's the case then? V'omer Kvar Netativ Lecha Kodem Shnatat Li Perot. I gave you the money a long time ago, before you gave me the Perot. So because this is an unusual case, this is something that would not normally happen. I mean, this is what the Marshor explains in Tosfos. So since it was in a normal case, there was some precursor to the Shvu'at HaSeit, or the Rabbanan would institute or impose a Shvu'ah when someone makes a strange claim. And it's abnormal for a person to go ahead and pay way up front and then come later on and say, let me have my fruits. This is an unusual case. We say, listen, if that's your story, take a Shvu'ah that really is the story. So that's what Tosfos says. It's not a Shvu'at HaSeit, but it's a Shvu'ah on this abnormal claim, and that's what he's making over here. The Rabbeinu Tam, on the other hand, explains that the case here, the first case in the Mishnah, is a case where the store owner took the fruits and put them into the kelim of the customer. Took the fruit, put them into the customer, but they are still, the kelim are still within the domain of the chenvani. They're still within the store itself. So therefore, we say to the balabayit, nishba, you should take a shvua to go take your peirot over here, because they are in your kelim. You have circumstantial evidence that he already paid. Circumstantial evidence that he already paid is the fact that the peirot are in his kelim. Now, they're on the store owner's property, so he wants to remove his kelim. Now, take a shvuah and walk away with them. So this is a case, according to the Rabbeinu Tam, of nishba v'notel. A case where you take a shvuah and you can walk out with it, not a case of denial or kofar bakol that you take a shvuah. And the Rabbeinu Tam goes on to say, or the Tosfos continues here to say, that that's the concept behind all nishba v'notel. All nishba v'notel is a case where the item has partially left the possession of the owner. And since it's partially left the possession of the other party, therefore we say to the individual, nishba v'notel, go ahead and take it. Now, truthfully, it doesn't read Rabbeinu Tam's description or the way that he describes the Gemara, the Shvuah, that's a nishba v'notel, does not fit as well into the statement of the Gemara that we're about to do, and that's what Tosfos deals with at the end of that Tosfos, but we won't get into that. But just as some background as to what is the Shua that the Baal HaBayit is taking. Now, when Gemara comes along, it says, Tanya, Rebbe Braisa, Amar Rebbe Yehuda Matai. When is this true? Bizman she perot sugurim umunachim. That's when the perot are sitting there in a pile, ushnehem orim alehem, and they're arguing, the disagreement between them is, whose perot are they? Right, the Baal HaBayit says, they're my perot, I gave you money, I put it in your pocket, in your wallet, and the store owner says, I never got money, they're my perot. Aval hibshilam bekupato. If the Baal HaBayit already has them in his own basket, lachorav, then amotzi mechaver ola v'raya. Then at that point, he's walked out with the perot. The perot are now in the possession of the Baal HaBayit. If they are in the possession of the Baal HaBayit, then the Baal Bayit is not the one who now is obligated to take a Shavuah. It's Motzi Mechaveru Alav Raya. Then the Mechen Banin has to prove now that he did not receive any money or any compensation for these perot. Otherwise, why is this individual walking out with perot on his back, or why is he walking out of here? We're talking about in the case here, a chenvani that's not makif, that generally does not give credit. So the fact that this individual is walking out, it's in his possession, that suggests that he did pay already. And therefore, if the chenvani wants to get the money back, he's the one who's going to take the shuah, he's the one who's going to have to bring proof or evidence to the fact that he deserves to be paid here. Only in a case where the perot are left in a disputed area or between them, then we can say that the Baal Bayit has to take the Shavuah, because there's no evidence, or the evidence isn't strong enough for him to come along and walk out and say, I don't have to take a Shavuah at all. Now, Amar l'Shulchan Eitein Li, there are two cases in the Mishnah. There's a case in the Mishnah of a chenvani, of a storekeeper, and then subsequent to that, there's a case of Shulchani, of a money changer. Now, the halacha is brought down as the same halacha, both by the Tana Kamo and the Rabbi Yehuda, who disagrees over there in both of those cases. So Mar wants to know, B'tzricha, Mar says, do we need both of these cases? The Mar says, yeah, we need both of these cases. What? Yesh minan hakamaita, had you only talked to me about the chenvani's case, b'chavka ami rabbonon, in that case the rabbonon say that he does not have to, he has to take a shvu'ah when he walks out because he's owed money. Why? Mishum de peri avidi de merkaveh, that perot in general rot, I mean they go bad over time. So the chenvani is in a rush or wants to expedite the sale of the perot. So therefore, he goes ahead, became into Mekarve, lo mishaule. Storekeeper doesn't keep him around, he throws him into the baskets of the Baal Bayit, or he puts him into his vessels, because he wants to get the sale done, he wants him out of here as fast as possible. So therefore, maybe that's a case where the Rabbanim believe that there is such a possibility that the fruits were walked out with the Baal Bayit, and he didn't pay the chenvani, because the chenvani may be preempting and pushing the payroll on him and saying, take it, go. And therefore, they say, take a shvuah, the Baal Bayit should take a shvuah, that he did pay the chenvani, as opposed to Rabbi Yehuda, who believes, no, that the chenvani would never let the payroll go without getting his money. On the other hand, aval ma'ot, when we're talking about shulchani, delo mekar, markevei, that they don't rot, meaning that money doesn't go bad, over there, ima modele Rabbi Yehuda, maybe they would agree to Rabbi Yehuda that the shulchani will never give his change out before he receives the compensation with that change. Ve'id marbaha, had you only told me the case of shulchani, v'hakam Rabbi Yehuda, over there I would say the position of Rabbi Yehuda is that the shulchani never allows change to go out of his hand until he gets paid, and therefore he doesn't have to take a shavuah here. The Baal Bayit doesn't have a shavuah because there's no way the money changer would have handed him his change before he actually got money. On the other hand, maybe, aval baha, maybe in the case of the chenvani, right, ema modulu the rabbanan, he would have agreed to the rabbanan, because over there we have the havamino, or we at least have the possibility that the reason the chenvani threw the fruits into his basket, or into the Baal Bayit's basket, because he wants them out of here, he wants to get the sale done. So over there, maybe we wouldn't say that same principle, that the chenvani wouldn't allow the payroll to go to the Baal Bayit without getting compensation. Maybe over there he would, and the rabbanan would agree to the chachamim. So trichos, therefore we have both machlokot are brought down in the Mishnah between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda, both by a chenvani and by a shulchani, to tell us that that's not true, that the difference between perot and money are not relevant here, and Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim's position are the same in both of those instances. Now the Gemara goes, lo yifre'u. So that was the case. We said that certain individuals have to take a shua in order to collect, and then we said that Yitomim also must take a shua to collect. We discussed this Gemara a little bit. And now the Gemara says, Miman, who is this from? Who are they collecting from that they have to take a shvuah? Ilema milove, they're coming to collect from a debtor, person who owes money to their father. Now, avuan shakal below shvuah, the father, if he came with a shtar, if he came with evidence to the fact that this debtor owed him money, he would be able to collect without ever taking a shvuah. Ve'inu, and now you're going to say that you told me, b'shvuah, to take a shvuah. If their father could come without a shvuah, why should they be disadvantaged in any way just because they are the yorshim of their father? They should be able to collect from this loveh without any shvuah. So Mar says, Achi Kamar, this is the case. V'chein yitomim mina yitomim lo yifruel b'shvuah. Now this is talking about yorshim, or orphans of the creditor. They may not collect from the orphans of the debtor without a shvuah. Now, Rav and Shmuel, we saw this earlier, qualify this. Amrei tarvayu. Lo shanu elo shemit malveh b'chay loveh. That's only when the creditor predeceases the debtor. Is that true? Why? Because in that case, the malveh, the creditor, never had any obligation of a shvuah towards the debtor. As long as he was alive, he collected directly from the debtor without any shvuah. So therefore, his children now who are coming to collect can also collect without any shvuah. Ah, what's the problem? The problem is that they're also they're collecting from the Yerushim of the debtor. They're collecting from those Yerushim. So the Chachamim, in that case, instituted a Shavuah. And that Shavuah is that they don't know anything about this being paid off, or their father didn't instruct them, or they didn't find any Shavar, any receipts, and therefore they can go ahead and collect. Aval, but if the case is Meit Loveh B'chayim Malveh, that the debtor predeceased the creditor, then Kvar Nitchayev Malveh Livnei Loveh Shavuah. In that case, the Malveh, the creditor himself, would not have been able to collect from the Yerushim, from the inheritors of the debtor, without taking a Shavuah. The Malveh himself, if he came up with the Shtar, he would not be able to collect without a Shavuah, because there is a requirement. If you want to collect money from Yitomim, you must take a Shavuah. So now the Malveh is obligated to take a Shavuah, and now he passes away. His children may not collect without a Shavuah, but they can't take the Shavuah of their father. Vein Adam Uri Shavuah Lebanav. You cannot pass down, it's not really a Shavuah, but you can't pass down a monetary obligation or a monetary collection that requires a Shavuah to the children. Because the father was required to take a Shavuah that said, I did not collect from your father, that there is, this loan is still outstanding. Now the children of the Malveh, the creditor, cannot say that. They don't know. They were not first persons to this transaction. They do not know if it was repaid or not. They can say, they can take a Shavuah that our father never told us about it. We didn't find any receipts. But they personally cannot say that they were not repaid at any point in time. So since the Yerushim, the inheritors of the creditor, cannot take the exact same Shavuah that the creditor was obligated, and the creditor was already obligated to take the Shavuah, the money's not his anymore. It's really not his. It's not an obligation that is close enough to being his that he may just pass it down to his children to collect on his behalf. No, because he required a Shavuah in order to create the monetary obligation or to create the collection. And since they can't take that Shavuah, they're unable to collect like their father would. So that's what Rav and Shmuel say. Rav and Shmuel say that this true, this case, or this ability of Yitomim to collect from Yitomim, is only when the creditor was not obligated a Shavuah before he passed away. If he's not chayav in a Shavuah, then the Yerushim can come along, they take a Shavuah, and they can take it. On the other hand, if the Malveh was already chayav in a Shavuah, the creditor is already chayav in a Shavuah, they cannot come and collect in this case. Now, Shachu Kameh to Rav Elazar, they set the case in front of Rav Elazar, and Shavuah Zu Mativa. What is this Shavuah that we're talking about here? The Shavuah that the Yerushim are going to take? Shachu, he says, Yerushim, the Shavuahim, Shavuat, Yerushim. The Yerushim can take a Shavuah, which is called Shavuat HaYerushim, and note them, and then they can go and collect. What's Shavuat HaYerushim? That our father never commanded us or never told us that the loan was repaid. We haven't found any receipts in his possession, so you owe the money. Now, according to Rav Elazar, who disagrees with Rav Shmuel, says it's irrespective of what the father or the creditor had was obligated in. Meaning that the Yerushim here can come and collect in any case. Doesn't matter if their father was Chayav Shavuah or their father was not Chayav Shavuah, because they can take the Shavuah that is assigned to them. That's the Shavuah that they know nothing about the collection. And that's what they can take and they can collect. So he disagrees, and Beloza disagrees with Rav and Shmuel. Now, Shulchua mi bei Rabbi Ami, they again sent the case in Rabbi Ami. They want to clarify what the halacha is in time of Rabbi Ami. Amar, kuli hai shulchula. Bosley, it's still going on. This question is still open. Nobody said anything about it. If I had not known something, wouldn't I have sent it to you? Meaning that, you know, we all know that this case is out there. We all know that this is an issue. And had I known something, of course I would have sent it to you. So you don't have to ask me. But, all right, if we're already here, let me tell you something. If we're already in this situation, let's say something. Let me try to say something about it. It says, if the Malveh, the creditor, already went to Beis Din to make his claim against the debtors or the debtor's orphans, now he's obligated to take a Shavuah. He goes to Beis Din. Beis Din can enforce or impose upon him a Shavuah in order to collect from the debtor's children. Right? So therefore, when he dies, then he's already chayav in the Shavuah, and he can't pass the Shavuah Lebanav, and he can't pass the Shavuah to his children, and the children can't take the Shavuah that their father needed to take. On the other hand, if he never showed up in court, umate, and he dies, Yerushim nishvayim, Shavuah Yerushim benotim, they can just take the Shavuah and not have to worry about it, because there their father never became obligated in the Shavuah to the debtor's children, because he never made a claim against them. And now they who are initiating the claim can take the Shavuah that is obligated or that is imposed upon the Yerushim, which is that we don't know anything from our father that this loan was collected. So Matki told Rav Nachman, and Rav Nachman challenged this idea of Rabbi Ami. Altu beidino kamachai b'le Shavuah. Wait a minute. The Beit Din is not the ones that make him chayav the Shavuah. They might impose the Shavuah. They may be the place where due process takes place, but they're not the ones who obligate the Shavuah. Midon de shochi v'lovei. From the moment the debtor passed away, ichayav le'malveh l'vnei v'lovei Shavuah. The Malveh now becomes obligated in taking a Shavuah. The obligation is not because he went to Beis Din. The obligation is because the debtor passed away. Once the debtor has passed away, any collection that has to be taken here from his children must be done on Yedei Shvuah. So the obligation of the Chiyuv HaShvuah comes from the fact that the Loveh passed away, not from his Amidah Badin. So Elul Rav Nachman says, Ito the Rav Shmuel, Ito, Ileto, Leto. Meaning that if Rav and Shmuel, the Loch is like Rav and Shmuel, it's going to be like them across the board. And if it's not like them, then it will not be like them across the board. You know, we're not going to differentiate between Amad Badin and Lo Amad Badin. That's not a differentiation that makes sense over here. So Mar says, Alma Misfekele. It sounds to me like this, that Rav Nachman has a suffix about whether the Loch is like Rav and Shmuel. And Ve'alma Rav Yosef Rav Numi, Abad Rav Nachman Uvda, that he did had a case, then he did a case, Yachloku, that they should split it up. Now this is the case in our Mishnah, where the Machlok is in the Mishnah, where Shnehem Chashudim al Shvuah, where both parties are Chashud al Shvuah, nobody can take the Shvuah here. So it was a Machlok is between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah. Rabbi Meir says, Yachloku, they split the Dvari, they split up, the two of them split the difference between them, they'll pay half, or they take away half, each one gets half of it, since they're both problematic in this case. On the other hand, Rabbi Yossi says, Chozer Shvuah Koma. Shvuah goes back to its original state, and then we had a machlokes between Rabbi Tenu Shabavel and Rabbi Tenu Sheretz Yisrael, what that meant. So we had a statement from Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yume that Rabbi Nachman Paskin Aloha like Yachloku. Now, who he said like is not so clear, that's why the Girsa coming up in the Gemara is not so clear. Our Mishnah says that's the position of Rabbi Meir. When we, in the Gemara brought down that there were Mishnayot that had the Girsa, that's the position of Rabbi Yossi. So either way, Rav Nachman seems to have paskin like either Rabbi Meir who says Yachloku or like Rabbi Yossi who says Yachloku. How does that help us in our case? Well, this is exactly our situation over here. Our situation over here is that we have people who cannot take a Shavuah. We have Yatomim who are coming to collect. They have a valid claim, just they can't take the Shavuah over here. So if they can't take the Shavuah over here, what should be the din? The din should be, according to Rav Nachman, Yachloku. They should split it over here since they are obligated to Shavuah but unable to take the Shavuah, just like the case of Boshneim Chashudim al Shavuah. So why is his din different? Why is all of a sudden over here he has a safek where the din's like Rav and Shmuel, or it's not like Rav and Shmuel? It should be irrelevant because he holds like Rabbi Yossi or Rabbi Meir who say Yachloku. And if you say Yachloku, then there's nothing to discuss whether he can take the Shavuah or he cannot take the Shavuah and he's obligated in the Shavuah because that's not relevant anymore. If he can't take the Shavuah, then he's obligated and you split it. So Gemara says here, no, the Rabbi Meir Ka'amar, the Leilo Svirle says the Varov, according to the words of Rabbi Meir, he says this, but he doesn't hold like it. I mean that Rav Nachman said, if you hold like Rabbi Meir, then you'd be Yachloku in this case. Now, the problem with this Girsa, obviously, is that in our Gemara, when Rav Nachman makes the statement, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Meir makes the statement, we think that's the position of Rabbi Yossi. So he can't be saying, if he's saying the Dvarav to Rabbi Meir, either he's saying the Rabbi Meir of our Mishnah, which has the Girsa that Rabbi Meir is Yachloku, he's saying according to Rabbi Meir, or we're saying over here, the Divrei Rabbi Ami, that's the other possibility of the Girsa over here, according to Rabbi Ami, who makes such a differentiation or distinction between Amad Bedin and Lo Amad Bedin, he says, David Rav Nachman says, I don't hold to this whole thing of Rav and Shmuel. But you, who hold of Rav and Shmuel, you have to hold of them entirely, or they don't hold of them entirely. So the question is the statement of Nachman saying, yes, Yachloku, and the question is about Rabbi, and he's just saying, you, according to you, Rabbi Ami, this should be the case. Either it's wholly like Rav Shmuel or not like Rav Shmuel. Or the other possibility is that Rav Nachman himself didn't hold of Yachloku. And he's only saying the Divrei Rabbi Meir. He's only saying it according to that position in the Mishnah. And he himself held or was a safek about what the outcome should be. And he was a safek whether it should be the Halacha should be like Rav Shmuel or not. Again, it makes more sense to say that Rav Nachman held of that position because it seems like he paskened the Halacha that way. And therefore the Gizah of Rabbi Ami probably makes more sense over here. Now the Gemara says, Meitu Rav Hoshea, I have cases here where we have a Shavuah or an obligation of a Shavuah on a party, and yet their Yoshim can collect money without that Shavuah. What's that? Meita. The woman passes away. She was entitled to a Ketubah. Her husband predeceased her. She was entitled to collect from the estate. In order to collect from the estate, she'll have to take a Shavuah. That's the din. An Amanah wants to collect from the Yitomim. Her Ketubah has to take a Shavuah to that effect. So now, Yoshah, Maskirim et Kudah, Ad Esrim V'chamesh Shanim. They can allow to, there's a statute of limitations, this is both for the Amanah herself, as well as her Yoshim, that up to 25 years, they are allowed to make a claim for their Ketubah out of the estate. If 25 years have passed and they made no claim, then they're no longer allowed to collect the Ketubah. So over here we have a case where the woman passed away. If she had been alive, in order to collect her Ketubah, she would have to take a Shavuah. So because that's the requirement of an Amanah out of the state of the Yitomim. So now all of a sudden we say to your sheha, her inheritors have 25 years to make a claim of the ketubah on her behalf. Now wait a minute. If she was obligated in a shvuah, that means that they too should have to take a shvuah here. And they can't take the shvuah that she took because they're only the Yerushim. They're not the first person or first party to this transaction, to this ketubah. They can only take a statement that they didn't hear or they don't know, but they can't personally say that we never collected our ketubah. So now they can't take the shvuah of their mother, yet this bracer seems to say that she can go ahead, they can go ahead and collect. That Yosheach must scream ketubah ta'asrim chamishanim. They're allowed to collect the ketubah up to 25 years. Sounds like they can collect it, and they don't have to take a shvuah. But it says, Zachar ma'askinen shenishba'al meita, that she actually took the shvuah. She took the shvuah that she had never collected on it, and then passed away before she actually made the collection. So now the Yoshim are coming on her behalf to make the collection after she's taken the shvuah. So now, Tashma, another case. Nasa Rishonah Meita, he married his first wife, and she passed away. She predeceases her husband. Then Nasa Shnia, he marries his second wife, Umeitu, and then the husband dies. So now the woman, Shnia Yorsha, the second woman, has rights called Mimli Yorshe HaRishonah, come before or have priority over the Yorshe Rishonah. They are coming to collect me, Koach Tuvata. The woman, the second wife, is alive now. When her husband passes away, she has a right of collection through her Ketubah. That's a full-fledged right, an obligation through the Ketubah, that she gets to collect. Now, the Yosheh Rishon, the first woman's children, are coming to collect, but they're really only coming to collect because they have a ketubah b'nin dechrin. That they, since their mother predeceased their father, in this instance, the father inherits the mother, and they really, midoraisa, should be entitled to nothing. They should get nothing out of this case. But the Chachamim instituted ketubah b'nin dechrin, which is that children of the wife get to collect her ketubah when they inherit from the father. But that's only if there's enough possessions to give to both parties. Over here, if there are not enough possessions, the priority goes to paying off the ketubah of the second woman who has a right or a collection midoraisa from her ketubah to these items. But you see that who is the right of collection here? It's both her v'yorsheha, that she and her yorsheha get priority. So if it's yorsheha, sounds like they have a right of collection again as well over here, and they can come even though they can't take the shvuah that their mother would have taken. It says, Achanami, this case is also shenishba meita, this case where she took the shvuah prior to passing away. And since the shvuah was already there for her collection of the ketubah, they're just simply coming to collect, not to replace the shvuah that she had already taken. So tashma, one more case. And then here, about yorshav mashbimuta, bet yorsha, bet abayim birshuta. This is a case, a strange case, a Mishnah Ketubot, where an individual says to his wife that if it's up to me, if the situation comes up, you have no obligation to take a shvuah. This husband over here says that I have no rights to force a shvuah or a nether upon you or upon your yorshim. That's what the husband says. And that's the case. If he makes such a stipulation, then he has no right to go demand a shvuah of her. On the other hand, if he passes away and his yorshim are now coming to make the claim, or they're coming to ask for a shvuah, they have the right. The only thing he said was, I will not force you or your yorshim to take a shvuah. On the other hand, my yorshim could. They could, if I'm not around anymore, and my yorshim want to come, they can force you to take a shvuah over here. So that's what it says in this. Tashma, aval, yorshav mashbin otav et yorshah. His yorshim have the right to force her to take a shvuah, or her yorshah, or it's abayim bishutah, or anybody comes to represent her. Anybody's making a representative claim on her behalf will have to take a shvuah based on the yorshim, because their need for shvuah was not waived by the yorshim. It was only waived for the father, who said, I will not force you into that position. But for his yorshim, he never made such a stipulation. So in this case, if the yorshim are forcing her to take a shvuah, it's clear she has yet to take the shvuah. If she has yet to take the shvuah, when we say yorshah, they can force a shvuah on her. It sounds like she was obligated to shvuah. If she's not around, then the yorshim take that shvuah. And that would be against Rabbi Shmuel's position over here. Because here she has a shvuah that she's obligated in, and she is being morish that shvuah to her yorshah, and they're able to collect with their shvuah. So that sounds like Rabbi Elazar, not like Rabbi Shmuel. So Gemara says, I'm Rabbi Shemaya, that no, we'll have to explain, Rabbi Shmuel will have to explain this brisa. So like this, let's studim tani, that there are different cases in this Mishnah, on this brisa that we're talking about here. Why? That is, otah, Ba'almana. When we're talking about her, that they can force a shvuah on her, that's when she is in almana. When she's a widow. In that case, her husband predeceases her. As her predeceases her, she's obligated to take a shvuah in order to collect from the estate. So that's a case where they can force her to take a shvuah. That's even a case where she is an almana. On the other hand, the case of Yorsha is bigrusha, in the case of divorce. In a case of divorce, the husband must be alive when the divorce takes place. Otherwise, there wouldn't have been a divorce. Since in this case, the husband had promised her that he would not obligate her or her yorshim in a shvua, and when she's obligated in no shvua, she dies, her children come, and they're also not obligated in a shvua, and they can collect. Now, when the husband or the ex-husband passes away, and now his yorshim are demanding a shvua over here, their demand for a shvua is not because they're demanding it from the woman, they're demanding it from these yutomim who are coming to collect. And that's the zakarat chachamim, that yutomim, habayim leka lifara mean yutomim, they're coming to collect from other yutomim, must take a shvua. But that's a shvua that they can take. We don't know anything about any collections over here. So because in this case, or the way Rabbi Shmuel explained the case here, is that the yorshim is a case of grusha. And a case of grusha becomes, or basically becomes the equivalent of a case of the malveh, the creditor predeceasing the loveh. So that's the equivalent over here, where she already has been divorced. She has a right of collection without shvua, because he promised her he wouldn't force her into a shvua. And she now dies. When she dies, a husband can't demand any shvua from the yorshim as well. But then the husband dies, or the ex-husband dies, and now the new his yorshim step in, and they demand the shvua. Their demand for shvua is directed right at the yorshim, not because they could have obligated the mother in a shvua, because she's no longer around. So now we have a case where Rav and Shmuel can explain this. Bryce and them to explain it, let's study. So, Meitiv Rav Natan Bar Hoshia. Imagine another question. Yafeh koach ha-ben mi koach ha-av. The child has more power than the father. Why is that? She-ben gova ben b'shva ben shalu shva. The child can collect whether with a shva or without a shva. Va'av enu gova elo b'shva. But the father must collect with a shva. That's the only way he can collect. If a person, a father is here, and he wants to collect from the Yitomim, he's a creditor, and he wants to collect from the Yitomim of the debtor. The only way he can collect is by taking a Shvua. That's the only thing he can do. He can say, take a Shvua and collect them. On the other hand, his children have two choices. They can either take a Shvua and collect, or they could have a case where they're Edim. They're Edim that were around at the time of their father's passing away. And at the time of their father's passing away, these Edim say that the father never said anything or never said that this debt was paid off. So those Edim would then obviate the need for a shvua, because they're already telling us whatever the shvua is that the yoshim would have taken. They would just say that our father never told us anything, but they were there, so we know they didn't say anything, so they would not have to take a shvua. But what? Hey, chidami, what's the case here? Case must mean to make loveh b'chayim alvin, that the debtor predeceased the creditor, because otherwise, why would the creditor have to take a shvua? That's why the creditor has to take a shvua, is because he was alive, and the debtor had passed away, and now his children are demanding, the Yitomim are demanding a Shvua in order for him to collect from them. Viktani, and yet it still says, Ben Gova, Ben Bishva, Ben Shlo Bishva, that the child of this individual, this creditor, can take collection either with a Shvua or without a Shvua. Wait, now without a Shvua, we explained, okay, that's a case with Edim. But with a Shvua, what's the case? That must be a case where they inherited the Shvua from their father. So that goes against Rav and Shmuel again. So Gemara says, what's the case here? Bishva, Shvat Yoshim. Shlo b'shva k'rabi shimim m'gamliyo. A shva is like the shvat ha-yorshim. What's shvat ha-yorshim? That we didn't hear anything from our father. But that means even though their father was obligating to take a shva, that I did not collect this loan, and now he passed away, and now they're coming to collect in place of the father. Yet nevertheless, they do not require the shva, or they're not obligated to take the shva of their father, but they take their own shva, which is that we don't know anything about this. That's Rabbi Elazar's opinion. They can take a shva and collect over here. And now, the Shlomo Shvua is like Rabbi Shimon Galilei in our Mishnah, who says that there are Edim around at the time of death that can tell us that he never gave any instructions or he never said anything about this shtar being parua, then they don't have to take a Shvua. All right, I'm Rabbi Yosef. So I have a solution to this problem. Hamani, who's the author of this position? Who's the author of this? Braisa, Beit Shammai. It's Beit Shammai, Damre Shtar, Omei, the Gavot, Ki Gavoy, Dami. A shtar that is ready to be collected is considered as if collected over here. That means that the creditor has a right to collection from the debtor. He's owed money. He has a shtar. Now we look at that shtar as if it's completely collected. We look at it as if it's money good in his hands, because it should be collected. And since it can be collected, it's as if it's money good in his hands. When he passes away, then that money, monetary claim, passes to his children, which he's allowed to do. What about the Shavua? Father couldn't have collected without a Shavua. So that is what Beit Shammai says. V'afagav the tikkun rabbanon shalei pra ifra ilo b'shavua. That is memon gamurhu l'arish l'banav. That the Chachamim imposed that he take a Shavua. That's not because it's not money in his hands. It's money good in his hands, according to Beit Shammai. Just the Chachamim imposed the Shavua in this instance, even though it's money good. So therefore, when his Yorshim come, when his, the creditors, inheritors come, they are able to inherit his monetary claim, because the monetary claim is a full-fledged claim without any Shvua.
there's an imposition of Ashua by the Chachamim. That's not to give him the right to collect. He had the right to collect without the Shavua. Just the Chachamim say you cannot collect without the Shavua. Supposed till now, or according to Beit Hillel, says the Shtar Omei the Gavot Laki Gavui Dami. In that case, the Shavua is what generates the monetary claim. And therefore, the children cannot inherit that Shavua because they can't make the Shavua, and therefore there's no monetary claim to pass down. And if the monetary claim is money good already, and the Shavua is just an imposition on top of that, then they can inherit. That's what happens with the Yoshim, inherit the monetary claim, and they'll take their own Shavua. They imposition the Chamimik, which is the Shavua Ta Yoshim. So that's how Rav Yosef explains that this Braita will not be a problem for Rav and Shmuel, because this Braita is authored by Beit Shammai, who has a different opinion about what it means if this is a money good claim or not a money good claim. Ikla Rav Nachman the Surah. He went to Surah. All the Gabe Rav Chista Rabba Bar Rav Huna. They came to join him or came to see him. Where Rav Chista Rabba Bar Huna. Amru Le, they said to Rav Nachman, Leiti Mar, come with us. Nekra Lahad Rav and Shmuel. Let's undermine or let's pass an aloha against Rav and Shmuel. We don't want the law to be Rav and Shmuel. Come with us and we'll make it clear that the law is not like Rav and Shmuel. Amru, Ich Pleib, Ati Kohani Parse. I went out of my way and bade all this Torah. And his effort to come and walk all this way to see you, the Mekra, the Hadar, Rav and Shmuel, to come and undermine Rav and Shmuel's position. That's enough that we won't add on to it. Whatever they said, that goes. But we will not expand their position to other cases. We will not apply their position to other cases. Marcellus could go on my. What would you have a Havamina to apply to? What other case are you talking about? Marcellus could go on Rapapa. It's a case to Amar Rapapa. A Bogevich Taro, a person who says that a portion of his star was already repaid. Umate, and then he dies. Yoshim nishba'im shvat yoshim notim. They could go ahead and take a shvat yoshim and collect the money. So this creditor who agrees that at least a portion of his shtar was paid off, these yoshim can go ahead and take shvat yoshim and collect. Why? Why should this be different? Because even though the Rav and Shmuel believe that when yotomim come to collect from yotomim, you have to take a shvuah over here. And in a case where they cannot be Morish, where they cannot inherit the Shavua, we will not let them collect over here. Nevertheless, in our case, we will say, okay, Rav and Shmuel are right, or we'll pass the halacha like Rav and Shmuel comes to Yatomim and Yatomim, in a case of that dead outstanding. But over here, where the Shavua is coming because of Bogemet Shtaro, the Shavua, or the obligation of the Shavua is not because he's collecting from Yatomim. It's because he was Meiria. He caused some sort of deficit in the Chazakah of the Shtar. And therefore, now he has to take a Shavua to collect. So now, if his Yoshim come to collect, we're going to say, take a Shavua and you can collect. Even though Rav and Shmuel say, Ein, a Shavua, Morishim Shavua. But over here, we're not going to pass like Rav and Shmuel. Why? Because this isn't the case of Rav and Shmuel. Rav and Shmuel's case is a case of Yatomim, and the Shavua is being generated because you're trying to collect from Yatomim. So we'll narrow their halacha just to that case, and not apply it, even though logically it should apply just as equally to this case over here. We will not apply it over here, and we'll say that he can be Yoresh the Shavua, because we're not talking about a Shavua that is generated by Yitomim, but rather because of his Pogem Vishtaro. How the Shachiv, someone passed away, Vishavak Arva, and he left a guarantor on the loan. Sarah Papa the Meimar, Sarah thought, Hanami the Lolosifala. This should also be a case where we're not mostly from Rav and Shmuel, and therefore the Yitomim over here should be able to collect without having to take the Shavua, their father, or just taking the Shavua to Yoshim from the Arev. They'll go to the guarantor, and they'll say, we want our money. We are owed the money. We are the children of the creditor, and we want the money that's owed by the debtor over here. Please pay us right now, the Arev. So now, Rapapa says, that's not the case. The case that Rav and Shmuel talked about is a case where Yitomim are collecting from the debtor's Yitomim. Not in a case where they want to collect from the Arev, so we won't apply Rav and Shmuel over there. So Amalei Rav Huna, Breder Rav Shua, the Rav Papa, he says, no. Atu Arva La Bata Yatme Azil. Let's be honest in the end. When he goes to collect from the guarantor over here, that's not where it's going to stop. The case is basically a see-through case. The guarantor pays the money, and then the guarantor is going to go after the Yitomim, after the children of the debtor. So in the end, it's in a transitive sense, they are really collecting from the debtor's children. True, they go through the Arev, but the Arev is just then going to go to the children of the debtor to get his money. So therefore, it really is similar to the case of Rav and Shmuel, because the whole Shavua here that's being generated or necessitated is because in the end, there are Yitomim that are going to be collected from. How the Shachiv and Shachiv v'Shavak, that person passed away and left Achla, and left a brother that was going to collect on his behalf. So Rav Bechama says, okay, this was not the case of Rav and Shmuel. Rav and Shmuel is a case where you're talking about Yitomim. You're talking about a case of children of the creditor. They're going to collect from children of the debtor. Over here, the person who's coming to collect on behalf of the creditor is not his children, he doesn't have children. It's his brother that's coming to collect. This is that case. So Amalei Rav says, not so quick. Malish lo pakdani abba. Malish lo pakdani achi. Wait a minute. The shvua over here for the brother is no different than the Yitomim themselves. I mean, that the reason that the Yitomim have to come over here and say something is shlo pakdani abba, that my father never told me any information. And what's the difference? That my brother didn't tell me the information. Here are the creditor's children when they're coming to collect. They're going to take a shvua that their father didn't tell them any information. The brother also, when he comes to collect, he's going to take the exact same shvua, which is the shvua that my brother didn't tell me any information. So true, it's a brother instead of Yitomim. But the situation or circumstances are identical to that of Rav and Shmuel. If that's the case, Rav suggests that they would apply the din of Rav and Shmuel, because we're going to, even though we only apply it to that narrow case of Yitomim, but Yitomim, this is the equivalent. Achi here steps in the foot of the Yitomim, and his Shavua that he could take is exactly the same Shavua that the Yitomim could have taken as well. So therefore, he will not be Yoresh the Shavua from his brother, and he will not be able to collect like the din of Rav and Shmuel. Amar Rav Chama, Ashlo Yitmar Yochata Lo K'Rav Shmuel, since we don't know if the law is like Rav and Shmuel, the Lo K'Rav Elazar, and we don't know if it's like Rav Elazar, I dine a Dovet K'Rav Shmuel about, if the Dayanim pass like Rav and Shmuel, it's a good psak. David Rabbi Lazar, who would they pass like Rabbi Lazar? Oh, but it's also a good psak. Since we don't have a definitive halacha over here, therefore the Dayanim can go in either direction. So I'm Rabbi Papa, I shtar the Atme. If we have a shtar of this situation where Yitomim are coming to collect from other Yitomim, the creditor's children are trying to come collect from the debtor's children, lo mikra karinale, we don't rip it up, velo agvuye magvinale, and we also don't collect on it. Agvuye lo magvinale, we don't collect using the shtar demos for like Rabbi Shmuel, maybe passing like Rabbi Shmuel. We don't rip it up. Because a Dayan who passes like Rabbi Elazar, that would be a good psak. So we don't want to rip it up because this shtar could be good. I mean, based on the fact that a Dayan could have passed like Rabbi Elazar, it would have helped them. So how would Dayan know? David Rabbi Elazar. There was a Dayan that passed like Rabbi Elazar. In his city, there was this young whippersnapper, Talmud Chacham. I'm going to Eretz Yisrael. Now I'm going to bring back a letter that the halacha is not like Rabbi Eliezer, but rather like Rabbi Shmuel. So Amalei L'chitekti, he says, my din will stand, and when you bring it back, we'll change the halacha. Atta l'kami de Rabbi Chama, this young whippersnapper, Rabbi Chama, went to Rabbi Chama, Amalei, I die no dalbik Rabbi Eliezer. But so Rabbi Chama says, I'm sorry to tell you, but the case is, if a dayan goes ahead and passes to Rabbi Eliezer, the psak stands. So even if you want to bring a letter back, the halacha should be like Rabbi Shmuel. It's not going to change the fact. We have no conclusive decision about who the law is like, and since we don't have any conclusive decision, therefore, if he passed like Rabbi Lazar, it's going to stand. Even though you think that the law is like Rav and Shmuel, maybe even someone will give you a letter that's the case. Nevertheless, we know from the Gemara already that we've learned that since Dayan the Abba Rabbi Lazar, it stands. This Dayan, you're not going to be able to overturn his ruling. The Gemara says, this is the last piece of the Mishnah. These are Elu Nishpayim Belo Tana. These are people who have to take a shvua without any claim against them. Where it says, Ato b'shuftani askinu? Are we dealing with fools over here? Why would they come to Beis Din and volunteer to take a shvua if there's no claim against them? Ella, hachi kamar. Ve'elu nishvayim shlo b'tanat bari, b'tanat shemal. It's being very simple. Generally, a person will only be forced to take a shvua if the claimant is coming with a real claim and a claim that he's certain of. It's a certain claim. It's not like a maybe. It's a certain claim. It makes a definitive statement. On the other hand, these individuals will take a shvua even if there's just a shema. Maybe you took money. Maybe you stole from me. Maybe you were not honest in business. That's enough to generate the shvua over here. And that's what it means, shalom b'tana. They don't come with a clear and defined claim, but they rather come with a claim of maybe. And that can generate the shvua in this instance of people who are nishba'im, shalom b'tana. Tano. We have a brayso that explains this. Ben beito shamru. When we're talking about the house, someone who works in the household, lo shenichnas v'yotzei b'raglav. It's not somebody who is living in the household and he's going in and out. Ela machnis lo polim, motzei lo polim. Someone who's transacting. He's bringing in workers. He's taking out workers. Machnis lo peirot. He brings in fruit. He's selling fruits and taking out fruits. I mean, that this is a person who's transacting with the estate, not somebody who simply lives in the estate. And therefore, the shvua that they're demanding of him is because of his being involved in the transactions, not because he simply lives in that location. Mar says, Amai shnai hani. Why are these individuals, why are these cases in the mission, do we force them to take a shvua, even a case of a maybe claim? Mar says, Meshum demora ba hetera. These people are usually a mora heter for themselves. These are individuals who are working on behalf of someone, and therefore they say, listen, I'm doing the work for free. I don't necessarily get anything out of this, so I can take a couple things for myself. It's not a big deal. I'll take this, take this. He'll be mochel because I'm doing this on his behalf. So that's what we're talking about here. The reason we force them into a shvuah is because we're suspicious of their behavior in these instances, because it'd be common, or they would be comfortable taking in this instance because they think it's rightfully theirs, or it's their right to take it because they're doing the work on behalf of someone else. That's what the Rabbeinu Tam points out. So it says over here, if we're talking about someone who goes into business, who gives them money, and the Gemara has these setups where half the money's a loan and half the money's equity, and they split the profits, meaning that the loan will have to be paid, and the individual who does the investing will keep the profits there. And on the equity side, those profits will go back to the lender of money. So they're basically going into business together. One is providing the money, the other one is providing the expertise, and then they split the profits. So there, the Rabbeinu Tam says that you cannot force them into a shvata shutfim. Why? Because over there, you can't say that he's more heter for himself. He's not going to be more heter. Why? Because he's making money over there. He has char. They're both making profits. And since he's making a profit and the Baal Bayit's making a profit, each for their contribution, he's not going to be more heter. The only time that we say he's more heter is where he doesn't feel like he's getting properly compensated for the work that he's doing. So I'm Rav Yossi Bar Neumi, I'm Rav Nachman, v'hu sheyesh tana b'nayu shtei kesef. That's only if the shema or the maybe claim is of a size of shtei kesef. He has to say, maybe you stole from me two kesef. Has to be of that size. Come on. Who's that like? Shmuel. That's like Shmuel says that the tana, the claim has to be for two kesef, not that the kfirah, the denial, has to be for shtei kesef. Don't we have Rabbi Chiyo who brings a brisa down to the possession, approve the position of Rav? The halacha is that you need a kfirah of shtei kesef and then a hoda'a of a pruto. So Amos, amend this to read, kfirat tana kirav. Now they have to say, what is this? Who is sheesh? Kfirat tana b'nayu shtei kesef. They have a denial of a claim of two kesef over here. And therefore, in this case, that's what will generate the shvuah. Why do you need this? So Rashi claims over here, what do you need this tana of shtei kesef here? Zeh shetano shema akafta mishali shtei kesef. Zeh modulo b'miktzat. The other individual agrees to a portion of it. To krova hi l'shvuah d'oraisa. Since it's similar to the Shvuah d'Oraisa, El Shetanat Shemahi, had he made a definitive claim, had he made a claim of Bari, then there would have been a Shvuah d'Oraisa Modem Miksat over here. The only thing they're missing in this case is they have the right amount, and they have a Modem Miksat. They're just missing the claim of being Bari. Here the claim is a Shema. So in that instance, the Chachamim instituted a Shvuah because it's so close to the case of Modem Miksat d'Oraisa. And so close to that case, they put forth, so they said, please take a Shvuah that you didn't steal from the items that you were working with. Now the Gemara asks, Ibailu, Maul the Galgel b'drabonon. We know there's such a concept called Gilgul Shvuah. Gilgul Shvuah is that if you're obligated in a Shvuah, one may not only force them to take a Shvuah on the item or the issue that's in front of them, but on other issues as well, or other circumstances as well. We learned that out from the Pasuk by Sota, which says Amen, Amen. And therefore, the Gemara learns twice, you say Amen twice. Amen on the Shvuah that she's forced to take for the Sota, but Amen on the other Shvuah that we pile on top of her. Now, Gilgul Shvuah is a Din Mina Torah, and it's maybe only applicable by Dinei Shvuah D'Oraisa. The question now is, when you have a Shvuah D'Rabbanon, like in our Mishnah, where there are Shvuah that are being taken that are only imposed mid D'Rabbanon, in that instance, can you be Megalgel Shvuah? So that's what we're asking. By the way, Malu Galgel B'Drabbanon. We have a Shvuah that's obligated mid D'Rabbanon. Can you also force, once you're forcing them to take Shvuah Midrabban, can you force other Shvuot on top of it? So Gemara says, Tashma, I'll bring you a Braisa. Bovei menu Erev Shvit, or Lavan menu Erev Shvit, he borrowed from me on Erev Shvit, Ola Motzei Shvit, Naseh Lo Shutaf. And then after the Shvit, he becomes a partner with him, or a Reis, or a sharecropper with him. Ein Migalgalin, we don't force him to take a Shvuah back on the loan amount. Why? Time of the Lavan menu Erev Shvit, that's because he borrowed the money before Shvit. Da'atiyah Shvit, Shvit comes up with Kate, and frees him from any obligations over there. Frees him from the loan, the outstanding loan, or any obligation to take a Shvuah in this case. So in this case, where he's kofar bakol about this loan that took place beforehand, in that case, you can't force him to take a Shvuah about the loveh beforehand. Why? Because of the Shmita that sits in between. But the implications from this price are Taimo the loveh imenu of Shvit, because he borrowed from Erev Shvit. Atiyah Shvit af Kate, and the Shvit comes and knocks it out. Ha Shar Shnei Shavuot, it was any year besides the Shemitah. Megalgalin, you would have been Megalgel. So here we're talking about a Shutaf who's taking a Shvuah, which is a Shvuah mid Rabbanan, and yet we're still obligating him to be Megalgel Shvuah to discuss the loan issue that is outstanding. So the reason, again, in this Braisa, he cannot be Megalgel, he cannot take a Shvuah, he's a Shvuah, Shutaf, he cannot address the question about the loan, is because the loan was forgiven by the Shemitah. On the other hand, if it's in other years where there is no Shemitah in between their relationship as borrower-lender and the relationship as being a shutaf partners or a sharecropper, then we would force them to take a shvuah. So there you have a case of Gilgul shvuah, and a shvuah that's only generated mi derabanan. So we're talking about shupfin here, arisin, which are the last cases in our Mishnah, but we know that you have to take a shvuah mi derabanan, even with the claim of shema. Gemara says no. Ama'ema, no. Amend this brisa to read like this. Naselo shutav arisev shvi'it. They became a partners or sharecroppers right before shvi'it. Ulamotzei shvi'it, they had another relationship, lavamenu. Then he borrowed the money from him. Midgal galin, then you are Midgal gel. Ah, because why? Because now you've changed this case around. He brought the case to be a case de oraisa. Over here, by the case of Lope, where he makes some sort of denial, his mother makes a shvuah de oraita. And with that shvuah de oraita, we're Midgal gel. On top of that, the shvuah of the shutfin or resin that were before shvi'it. So in that case, it wouldn't be any proof, because now we're doing a shvuah de oraita. And we say you can be Midgal gel with a shvuah de oraita. Mario Jackson says, how could you say that? Why? Because that's explicit. Have a hedgek tani law. And the same for that Mishnah, it's already written. Nasa lo shutaf or reserve shvit. That's explicitly written there. So the other case in the Braisa can't be the case that you're suggesting. You're amending it to read. And now you have two cases that say the exact same thing. No, it must be that the case is the way we said before. And shvamina megalgalin midirabanon shvamina. That you're allowed to be megalgal shwa, even in a shwa that's abrogated mi derabanan. That's important. And this Rashi here is important. He points out here. Wait a minute. If we're talking about a case where he is, after Shvi'it, a Shutaf and Aris, they are partners in a business transaction or sharecroppers, and now because of that he's allowed to obligate a Shvuah de Rabbanan, and now what's he going to do? He's going to force the Shvuah on a loan that was before Shvi'it, and on that loan he was a Kofer Bakal. So now he wants, so he denied totally about that loan, now he wants to force him to take a Shvuah about the Kofer Bakal. Rashi says, what do I need a Megilgal Shvuah for? I have Shvuah Tesait. Right, if he is Kofer Bakol, he'd have to take a Shvuah to say it anyway. So why do I need Gilgul Shvuah to force a Shvuah on him? So Rashi says here what Tosfos was said on the previous Amud, which is that we're talking about the time of the Tanaim. Rav Nachman's well instituted Shvuah to say that's not applicable to the time period that the price is being written. The price is talking about the time of the Tanaim. And therefore there is no Shvuah on a Kofer Bakol, and that's why we need Gilgul Shvuah to get back to that case of the Milveh that's outstanding, and therefore need the Gilgul Shvuah in order to force a Shvuah by Kofer Bakol that was prior to Shvi'it. Now the Gemara says, the Choma Galgalim Chutz Misachir. In all Shvuot Rabbanan, we do Gilgul Shvuah, except for the Shvuah of a Sachir, of a wage earner who takes a Shvuah. Why? Because the wage earner shouldn't have had to take the Shvuah whatsoever. Truth is that the Baal Bayit is Tarud Be'asakav or Tarud Be'Po'alav, and therefore we rely on the Sachir to say he didn't get paid, and he could have collected the money. Ah, why do we force him to take a Shvuah? Over here is the Hapis Da'ato Shel Baal Bayit. That's just to placate the Baal Bayit so he doesn't feel like he double paid. But because of that, the Shvuah is not a real Shvuah. It's a Shvuah lapis dato shel Baal Bayit. On that case, we say if he's going to do him a tova and take a Shvuah to help him out in this case and be lapis dato, we're not going to then be megalgel Shvuot on him and make it a much worse situation for him. There we won't do that. He's already doing a tova by taking the Shvuah in the first place. But all the other Shvuot midrabonon in our Mishnah, all of them will entertain or have the possibility of Gilgul Shvuah. Rav Chista Amar, the Chol Ein Mekilin, we're not Mekil to not allow Gilgul Shvuah, except in the case of Sakhir. So Mara says that there we are Mekil, the Mekilin, over there we are Mekil, we don't force a Gilgul Shvuah. So Mara says, Ma Benayu. They're saying the exact same thing, just using a different Lashon. It says, Ibn Aminai Liftoach Lo. The question is whether Beis Din gets involved and offers him the opportunity to be Megalgel Shvuah. According to Rav Huna, he says, the Chol Megalgelin. Beis Din says, let's go. Let's be Megalgel, except for Sakhir. In the case of Sakhir, that's the exceptional case. But he won't. But otherwise, Beis Din will intervene or help him and say, let's be Megalgel Shvuah. On the other hand, the position of Chista is that the Chol Ein Mekilin. We're not Mekil for cases except for the case of Sakhir. So from Rav Chista, it sounds like, what do you mean, the Chol Ein Mekilin? That means if you come and ask for a Gilgul Shvuah, we're going to listen to you. We're not going to be Mekil. But on the other hand, we're not going to take the initiative to say, let's do some Gilgul Shvuah over here, because we say, Ein Mekilin. We don't Mekil. Mekil is a redressing to the person. The person wants to come make a claim. We'll listen to him, and we won't be Mekil. Then it means we will not intervene to create the obligation up front. What is interesting over here is if you look at the Rashi on the first line, Chol Megalgalin HaYudei Kol Shvuah DeRabbanan. Rashi seems to limit the machlokas here about whether we require the initiative or claim by the Toveya in order to generate the Gilgul Shvuah, versus if Beis Din helps him out or introduces, or without a claim you could have Gilgul Shvuah. He says that machlokas only refers to Shvuah DeRabbanan. When it comes to Shvuah DeOraita, we do not have that requirement of a tvia al yedea toveya, and we could do the gilgul shuvah without any tvia whatsoever, or with Beit Din intervening or helping the toveya to bring about the gilgul shuvah. That's true of Rashi, or the implications from what Rashi says, and the Rosh as well, so similar to Rashi. On the other hand, the Rambam believes that this machlokus over here references both Shvuah d'Oraita and Shvuah d'Rabbanan. There is no difference whether you have a Shvuah d'Oraita, whether you have a Shvuah d'Rabbanan. If you want to be Magalgal Shvuah, you need a Toveya to bring the Ta'ana, or to have some sort of claim or Tviah why he's bringing the other Shvuah in, or with the Gilgul Shvuah. We will not help him, Bizin will not take the initiative. It'll have to come from a claim that he has with regards to another topic. What's also interesting is that Tosfos over here brings down the Ritzvah. Rashi says, and the Ri agrees with Rashi, that the Gemara's exception here is chutz misachir, means literally sachir. Sachir is the only case that's an exception where we don't do Gilgul Shvuah. On the other hand, the Ritzvah believes that sachir is just a header. It's like sachir and etc. All shvot are like sachir, which is all shvot that are nishba vinotel. And nishba vinotel, you can't be megalgil shvuah. And saw from Reb Soloveitchik that maybe the chakira here, or the chiluk between the opinion of the Ritzvah and Rashi, or in the Ri, is that what is it that generates the Gilgul Shvuah over here? The Ritzvah believes that in order to have Gilgul Shvuah, you must have a Chiyuv Shvuah. You must have an obligation to take a Shvuah. If you're obligated to take a Shvuah, then you can bring in other Shvuot. On top of that, you can be Gilgul Shvuot. But if you simply have a Zchut to take a Shvuah, which is all the cases of Nishba and Hotel, Shvuah Hotel, you're not obligated to take a Shvuah. It's if you want to collect, you take a Shvuah. It's a Zchut. It's a right that's granted to you. Over there, the Ritzvah says that's not a case where you can be a Gilgul Shvuah. Because there you're talking about a right, not an obligation. Gilgul Shvuah only relates to obligations of Shvuah. If you have an obligation to take a Shvuah, then you can bring other things in. But if you simply have a right to take a Shvuah, that right is simply to take that Shvuah and nothing more and nothing less. On the other hand, Rashi and the Ri believe, no, that Gilgul Shvuah derives from the fact that you are now able to have a Shvuah in place. Once you have a Shvuah in place, then we can be Megalgil Shvuah. It doesn't matter if the Shvuah came about because of a chiyuv, an obligation, or it came about because it was a zchut, it was a right to take the Shvuah. Once you've granted him the right to take the Shvuah, that Shvuah now enables a Gilgul Shvuah. Once you're put into a position of taking the Shvuah can now include other Shvuot. And that might be the core of the machlokus between Rashi and the Ritzvah, whether the Gilgul Shvuah relates to a chiyuv Shvuah, or even agility, or the zchut take a shvuah. Today, you can also explain some of the other machlokot harishonim that take place in this sugya.
And the Gemara says, mishamet. We said before that the shvi is not only mishamet kesef or loans, but it's also mishamet the shvuah. Minahane milim. Where do we know this from? Amarav gidel amarav. The pasuk says that dvar shmita. This is the dvar shmita, meaning the din of shmita, or this is the laws of shmita. Vafilu dibur mishamet. Here the Gemara takes it literally. Zed Dvar Shmita, this is the Dibur. Even Dibur, Shmita is Mishamet. Wow, which is a Din Dibur, that can be knocked off by Shvi, just like loans or monetary obligations are locked off by the Shvi. Okay, we'll stop here at the end of the parak.